Okay, so today we're going to be looking at challenges, and I'm going to tell you a story of somebody who faced a pretty big challenge. So this is a story of William Tell. So he lived in a small village in Switzerland. In Switzerland. He was a great archer, and he could shoot an arrow better than anyone in his village. At the time, the village was ruled by a very cruel man named Duke Gessler. Duke Gessler treated the village people badly and made them pay high taxes. He punished anyone who questioned his ways. However, William was not scared of the Duke. He was the only one who stood up to the cruel Duke. The Duke hated William because of this. William's house was in the mountains, and he lived there with his son, who he loved very much. Once a week, William went to the market to buy food, but on one visit, William saw something very strange. Right in the middle of the market was a pole with a hat on it, and people were bowing to it. I thought I had another picture, but I don't. People were bowing to it. William asked, "Why are people bowing to this hat on a pole? The Duke has ordered us to do so," he was told. William refused to obey the order and walked past the pole with his son, both with their heads held high. The Duke was furious when he heard that William hadn't obeyed his orders, so he arrested and threatened him. The Duke wanted to imprison William for his entire life. William looked at the Duke fearlessly and still refused to obey him, and the Duke was not happy. He wanted to scare William Tell. He wanted to see him shake with fear, so he thought of an evil plan. "You can go free on one condition," he said to William. "If you cut an apple in two from a distance of 200 paces, I'll let you walk free." William Tell's eyes shone. He was confident that he would be able to complete the task. But the Duke saw the happiness in William's face and laughed as he said, "The apple will be placed on your son's head." William was very angry. He was afraid and unsure now. He loved his son more than anything in the world. The Duke had chosen William's son because he knew how much William loved his son. The fear of hurting his son would scare William, and he would miss. So the Duke would be able to get rid of William easily. "You can do it, Father. Don't be frightened. I believe in you," said his son. William's son's trust gave William the courage he needed. The boy was tied to a tree and an apple placed on his head. William Tell stood 200 paces away with a bow and arrow. He was very scared, but he knew that it was the right thing to do. His son stood very still. The little boy had faith in his father's skills. William reluctantly placed his bow and arrow. Even though he was afraid, he courageously decided to prove the evil Duke wrong. His son stood there like a statue as William shot his arrow, and it flew swiftly across the distance and cut the apple in half. The crowd cheered loudly, and William ran to his son. The Duke was furious with William, but William just walked away proudly with his son. So that's pretty amazing, an amazing challenge to have to overcome. So I would like the children to come up, and we're going to reenact it, but in a safer way. Don't worry. So if the children would like to come up, you'll all have a go at a little challenge. And I'd like a volunteer to be our target, as it were, but you won't be shot. Do you want to be the target? Do you want to come up here? So Simeon, you're going to be our target. Brilliant. If you'd like to stand right here, well done, and face the children there. No. Good job. And this cup is going to be on your head. Don't wobble. Maybe you have to stay very still like William's son did. Okay, so the children, you're all going to get one shot to try and knock the cup off William's head. Simeon's head, even. Simeon, if you want to cover your face with your hands, if you're a bit scared, that's fine. Okay? Okay, so keep your hands still. Stay very still, okay? They're just foam bullets, so it's okay. Oh, not quite. You might need to aim a bit lower. Okay. Oh, super close. Simeon, do you want to go at shooting? Oh, not quite. Well done, though. That was really good. Brilliant job. So that was a pretty hard challenge for the children to do. Do you find it difficult? Was it difficult? Yeah, none of you managed to knock the cup off Simeon's head. But William Tell knocked the apple off his son's head. And he was very brave. And his son had trust in him. So William faced this challenge really well. I think we've now got a video to show you that shooting an apple from a very long distance can actually be done.
That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good going. Wow. So it can be done. He did it twice in a row, this guy, in his back garden. And at the end of the video, if you watch it all the way through, he comes up and he eats a bite out of it just to show it's a real thing. That was brilliant. Thanks, Miriam. We're here this morning, aren't we, to think about challenges, but particularly to think about a challenge that God took on and that God faced, that he took on and that he passed, he succeeded. And I've got some pieces of paper here that I wonder whether, Miriam, would you hand those out to the children, the expert shooters, the sharpshooters, and that's just to help you guys to follow along with what we're saying this morning, and you can fill those in as we go. Have you got the clicker? Oh, there it is. There we go. Right. I've got a few slides of my own, and maybe not quite as good as Miriam's, but let's see how we go. Where are we, Mike? So we're thinking about, there we go, we're thinking about a challenge that God took on in the Old Testament. We've been looking at the story of Abraham, haven't we? And we're thinking about a challenge. This is our last Sunday thinking about Abraham. Okay? Why don't we start with a prayer? Let's pray that this that God really speaks to us this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can all be in church together this morning for this service. And we pray that as we think about the challenge that you took on, you'll speak to us and we'll understand what that challenge was and what it means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're thinking about where God's challenge took place. And it took place in this city called Sodom. We have heard about this city before in our last few services, in our groups out with the children. And it was, look, on the surface, it was quite an ordinary city. Much like, you know, a town you might live in. Just an ordinary place. It's quite nice. Lots of people moved there because it looked so nice. I've got a lemon here from our fruit bowl. There's a lemon there. On the surface, it did look nice. Looked very healthy and happy as a place. But have you ever seen a lemon go like that in your fruit bowl? If you don't use it within a certain length of time, it can go all horrible and moldy. And the city of Sodom was a bit like that. It had gone horrible and moldy. It had gone really bad. Do you know, the Bible says later on, because some of the grown-ups are thinking, we've heard about what went on in Sodom. But do you know what the Bible said the real problem was? It says in Ezekiel, this was the sin of Sodom. She and her people were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help people in need. They were full of self-confidence and did all the things I hate. So that was what the problem was in Sodom. People were just so full of themselves. So full of themselves. They didn't have time for other people, really. And they didn't have time for God at all. And actually, while it looked nice on the surface, it was a bit stinky. It was really stinky to God. That's what he saw. But, do you know, can you remember something else about Sodom? Do you know who that man might be? Does anyone know who that man might be from Sodom? It's one of the residents, one of the people who lived in that city. Can anyone remember who that might be? Lot, that's right. It's a man called Lot. That was his city, Sodom. It's where he lived. Who was Lot? Lot, if you can remember, pardon? A nephew. Yeah, you're right. Whose nephew was he, Emily? You don't know. He was Abraham's nephew. That's right, he was Abraham's nephew, who we've been thinking about these last weeks. He was married and had two grown-up daughters. And the other thing we learn about Lot is he was God's friend. He was actually God's friend. We've heard some things in our story that would make you think, he made some mistakes. He did make some mistakes. Lots of God's friends make mistakes. They all make mistakes along the way. Lot made some. But he was one of God's friends. In the New Testament, it says this. Lot was a righteous man who was upset about the way people around him lived. That righteous man was tormented in his righteous soul by what he saw and heard as he lived there. So he lived in Sodom, but he didn't feel like he really completely fitted. Didn't feel completely at home there. Oh, righteous. Yeah, that comes up three times, doesn't it? Righteous means to trust Jesus and love him more than anything else. To trust Jesus and love him more than anything else. That's what makes someone righteous. Just trusting Jesus. And that's what Lot did, and that made him God's friend. That's what makes us God's friend, to trust Jesus and love him more than anything else. So that's Lot. Oh, that's Lot. We met Lot. Now, let's move on to think about God's challenge. It wasn't to shoot an apple off anyone's head. It wasn't to shoot an apple off anyone's head, but that was a hard challenge. God's challenge at Sodom was a little bit different. It was to judge the city of Sodom, which was really stinky, remember? Really was stinky. And rescue his friend Lot. So those two things. Or you could say it like this. To punish the people of Sodom while protecting his friend Lot. And one more way of putting it. To destroy the city of Sodom without destroying his friend Lot. That's the challenge. He had to try and treat people separately, differently, different ways, according to how they were with him, to treat people differently. Okay? So, our question this morning is, could God do it? Faced with that challenge, could God do it? So, we're going to have the Bible story, and it's a paraphrase. All right, so you can follow it if you like in your Bibles, but we've got the words on the screen. Okay, let's see if God could do it. We're starting sort of halfway through, okay? So, Lot told the two men who were soon to marry his daughters what was about to happen. He said, "Hurry and get out of here. The Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought Lot was joking. At dawn, the two angels told Lot to hurry and leave quickly with his wife and two daughters. Otherwise, they would be swept away when the city was punished. Lot hesitated just a moment. Then the angels took them by the hand and led them safely out of the city. The Lord was being kind to them. The angels warned them, "Run for your lives. Don't look back. Get as far away as you can." Lot said, "There's a small town not too far away that I could get to. Will we be safe there?" The angel said, "Yes, very well. You'll be safe if you get to that little town. But go quickly, because I can't do anything until you get there." By the time Lot arrived at the little town, the sun had risen. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. The Lord destroyed the whole area and all the people who lived there. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and saw thick smoke rising from the land. So when God destroyed those cities, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out safely from the cities that had been destroyed. Okay. So, that is the story. That's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe you didn't know it. It's a pretty terrifying story in lots of ways, isn't it? Let's just click one more time. There we go. So God took on the challenge, and he succeeded. He got his friends out to safety first, and then he destroyed Sodom. Right. Now, perhaps you didn't completely follow along with the story, but we're just going to sort of do a reenactment, and We're going to treat this area over here as though it is Sodom. And I'm just warning you guys that you need to get out in the next 30 seconds, okay? So anyone within the cordon zone is going to have to just escape very quickly. Right. Look, they're doing the right things. All I can... Here we go. This is the danger area. Right. So this is our danger area. You've got to get out because it's marked for destruction. How do we? Right. Just pop that down there, see if it'll stay. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so, wow, that was great. Everyone listened to the warning. They all ran for their lives. Right, I'm going to call in fire now. Right, go for it. That's it. That's it. And that's kind of what happened. That is kind of what happened to Sodom, isn't it? There was an aerial bombardment. And anyone left in that area would have been absolutely, well, terrible, really. Wow. How many have you got? Goodness me. Okay, there's one or two stray balls going outside the area now. Okay, great. Well, would you like to show yourselves up there? We'll find out who was doing all that. Ah, Max and Pippa. Max and Pippa. And anyone else? And anyone else? Yes, I thought so. Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. You can stop now. Thank you very much. The reason we needed to find out who was doing it was because in our story, did you notice who was involved? Who was involved in the story? Did anyone notice? Angels. We had angels, didn't we? We'll stop. We had two lords. Did you notice that? There were two lords, one lord in the heavens, that's why we had those up there, sending down the barrage of sulfur, burning sulfur, and one lord was on the earth. Did you see that? It said, actually I'm not going to be able to remember it off the top of my head, basically the one lord said to the other lord, send it down, so he did. It says the Lord rained down burning sulfur from the Lord out of the heavens. So there's the Lord on the earth directing operations, and there's the Father in heaven, and he's sending the sulfur. And angels. Lorna mentioned angels. The angels were there, weren't they? To help Lot and his family safely out of the city. So that's who's involved. But the question this morning... We followed that story, and it's quite a terrifying one. But what's the point for us? What is the point of that story for us? We've tried to make it lighthearted with the balls, but it's a very serious story, isn't it? This story is told to teach us that God's not afraid to take on the challenge. He's not afraid to take on the challenge of separating people. He's ready to do it again one day. Do you know that? It says in 2 Peter again, if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Wow. And that's what the Bible says, that he's ready to do it again. Now, that story talks just about one town, doesn't it? Just about one town, Sodom. But the Bible says it's going to happen to the whole world, that kind of separation. It's going to happen to the whole world. Because as we think about our world, on the surface, it's quite nice, isn't it? But... actually, much of our world, really, is like the lemon, or like Sodom. It's gone badly wrong. It's a bit rotten. It's very rotten. People are selfish. They think about themselves. They don't have time for the living God. They barely have time for one another. And God won't put up with it forever. When he judges the world, he will certainly keep his people safe. That's what the story teaches us, isn't it? He's not afraid to bring that judgment, but he will keep his people safe. There will be a safe place. And the same ones who were involved at Sodom and Gomorrah will be involved on that day when he brings that judgment to the world. The same ones. God the Father, God the Son, will see God the Son appear. He'll come down with his holy angels, we're told in the Bible. And this same kind of thing will happen, this separation. This separation will take place. But this story is really told to give us an idea of how to be safe. And that's what we must take home from this morning. Children, if you've got your pieces of paper, this is the bit to fill in near the bottom. This story is told to teach us how to be safe when that time comes. And how we're safe, whether we're safe or not, is all about what we love most. What we love most. It's not about who's in your family. Did you notice that a lot of Lot's family members were in the story, weren't there? Weren't they? There's Lot in the middle and his wife on the right and his prospective sons-in-law who are going to marry his daughters on the left. But only Lot got out to safety. So it's not about who's in your family. It's not about having Christians in your family. That's not how you're safe, because Lot's wife wasn't safe, was she? And nor were his sons-in-law. And it's not about a certain place or location, because Lot's wife got out of the city, didn't she? She did get out of the city, but she was still caught up in the terrible judgment. She became a pillar of salt. So it's not about where you live. The only difference between Lot and his wife was what they loved. What they loved. Do you remember that phrase? It said, Lot's wife looked back. The angel said, don't look back. She looked back because she really loved that place. She was attached to that place. And she couldn't really let go of it. I've got a few things here that symbolise attachments. Where's my other one? Where's my other one? I've got a paperclip. I've got a bulldog clip. And there's a ring on my finger as well. That talks about attachments, isn't it? And Lot's wife, she was attached, so attached to Sodom, she just had to look back. It broke her heart to leave her life there. She was wedded to Sodom and its way of life and its values. She looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. And Jesus says in the New Testament, remember Lot's wife. Look at what happens if you're wedded to the world as it is and its values. But something that didn't happen to Lot, did it? And that's because he wasn't attached to Sodom in the same way. He wasn't wedded to life there. He was more attached to something else. He was more attached to something else than he was to Sodom and the life there. And that, remember what it said? Lot was a righteous man. He was distressed by what he saw and heard as he lived there. And that really means that he was more attached to Jesus than he was to Sodom and its all it offered and its opportunities and its values and lifestyle. He wanted a different place, a different way of life. The way of life that Jesus offers and he's about to set up. And that's why he could walk away and not turn round and look back sorrowfully. So as we finish this morning, That's the real question, isn't it? What do you love most? What do we love most? This is how to be safe, isn't it? What are we most attached to? If we love Jesus, this is a great story, actually. It's a great story. Because it says, when that day of God's worldwide judgment comes, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. So that's good news. But if we don't yet love Jesus, I think this story tells us that when we talk about Jesus and we talk about the future, this is no joke. It's no joke. Actually, God's really serious about this separation. He's going to do it. So it's no joke. And what we need to do if we don't yet love Jesus is find out about him and what there is to love about him. We can find out how to have our old attachments replaced by new and better attachments. It's quite a heavy story, isn't it, really? But these are very important things, and we do need to think about them very, very seriously, all of us, whether we're really young or whether we're much, much older. And that's why we've talked about them together this morning.